The following podcast contains spoilers.
Hey, it's Joe Bunzarelli.
All right, guys, the big finale of Ahsoka dropped. I got Bob with me, and we're talking about Part 8, The Jedi, the Witch, and the Warlord.
This is the Bunzarelli Show.
So one thing I got a theory is I think this is almost like the end of something and the beginning of something. But I know, like, Ahsoka's Dave Filoni's baby. And right. there might have been the first thought I had was like, what was the arc here and where it ended and where it began? And I'm thinking, like, I wonder if the point was to put Ahsoka out of play for when the sequel movies happen, to just show, like, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's right. The movies.
Yeah.
I'm like, just thinking setting up for another season.
No, I think some of the stuff, the groundwork was laid, like the stuff with Thrawn and Ezra coming back. But I almost think that's like they're putting Ahsoka in a corner for a second. Now, whether she, and I know I jumped away to the end, but I was trying to revolve, like, well, what was the arc here? And I think a lot of the arc was, first of all, the Ahsoka making, like, the big picture would be the Ahsoka making peace with Anakin becoming Vader, and Ahsoka getting over those fears that made her bail on Sabine, which we finally got a definitive answer, which was like, she basically thought Sabine was going to go to the dark side because of the Mandalore thing. You know what I mean? Because she was just like afraid of like her becoming more powerful and just having that anger and vengeance, which is reflective because of her experience with Anakin. But a lot of good stuff in here. They had the Morgan Elsbeth leveled up. She got like the Night Sister, like HP.
Oh, yeah.
And some interesting stuff about her. I don't know if you really noticed like how good she was with the sword, but the actress Diana Leigh Asalto, she's the daughter of Dan Asalto, who's like a big martial arts legend, and her godfather is Bruce Lee. You might have known this already, but she's got like a big martial arts history, so that's why they did the rematch. Like, she had her first thing with the Beskar spear, her first battle with Ahsoka. And it's only fitting because that was the way to introduce Ahsoka into TV. And then it's like the final battle is with her, you know, kind of came full circle. But she was so good with that sword, the thing she was doing.
Yeah, she was with it, and I did not expect it at all. You know what I mean? Because I didn't put it together right away. And then I'm just seeing like this old zombie witch.
Yeah,
throwing around the sword, that was pretty cool, and the sword was cool as hell.
Yeah,
that was cool.
Oh,
the zombie thing was a little weird. The zombie Star Wars,
stormtroopers, different. It was something different for Star Wars. It was like, hey, let's try this. So, you know, and it was something that has to do with those bodies or whatever. Where everybody's assuming bodies because they look like caskets, but whatever.
Yeah.
What's his name? Thrawn is loading up into the ship. Somebody brought up
that's right.
Yeah, and then somebody else.
That's why. Okay, gotcha.
Yeah, and then I did cheat. I started listening to Rebel Force Radio because I was just like getting anxious. Usually I wait till we do our show, but they were saying they had said like, I bet it's more Night Sisters in those caskets. That would be really cool because we were just thinking like zombie mindless, but that's a lot to unpack. Why do you need zombie mindless bodies? Something else that Dathomir, the planet that the Night Sisters are from, the men from that planet are Darth Maul. So that might come
I've seen his
play.
Name popping up I see his name popping up, and like I try to just avoid him to not see any spoilers.
But it could be, you could have a bunch of Darth Mauls like running around, you know, not him exactly, but that
whatever
type of character. Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's another interesting thing going on there. I think another big part is Thrawn actually showing kind of like how he moves and how he kind of thinks, you know, where his head's at. Like he learned not to take, you know, the Jedi for granted.
Yeah,
because that's how Ezra yanked him out of there into that. Ezra got him in that mess. So I think what he's saying, so he's like really not playing around with Ahsoka at all. Like, I think we got her. Nope. Yeah. Get her again. And just like full frontal assault. And Ahsoka's pushing on. Then we had a good chemistry, the teamwork of them together. And Sabine Jedi yeah. Sabine. What'd you think of that?
Yeah, that was very cool.
Yeah.
Enjoyed that. Jedi Mandalorian. She didn't do a lot of Mandalorian stuff, and she was wearing the suit, right?
Yeah.
I didn't see a lot of things getting shot around.
The Mandalorian stuff is so second nature to her. So she's more of a blaster thing, you know, the grappling hooks and everything, all the you know, all those different toys are always there. But if you're just going, plus, you know, like if you think of that Din Djarin, like he's got that one thing. It's like the whatever he shoots at him out of his wrist, it does all the circles and everything.
Yeah.
But they're always like one offs. You got to think you got to reload those things. Maybe they're a little more sparing. Like Boba Fett, he shoots that rocket and then he's got to wait a week to go to the Costco and get a new one.
Yeah. Like, or wait for the HP meter to refill.
Yeah. So, yeah, I guess that might be it. Like the, I do like how when she was doing some lightsaber stuff and Ahsoka was just like, no, switch to blasters, like use your strength here kind of thing.
Yeah.
And then we had some good moments with Ezra. He was assembling his lightsaber. Kanan Jarrus was big in Rebels. He was the one voiced by Freddie Prinze Jr. He died in that Rebels. But for us fans, just to see, he basically remade Kanan's lightsaber. So okay, it's
I was
like
going to ask you that. I went back to watch it because I just so happened to miss when he said whose it was. And I'm thinking like, oh, it's going to be someone big.
Yeah,
and they said it. I'm like, I don't know who that is.
No, it's Kanan. It was his master. But even if you, like I said, once again, if you didn't follow that, the important thing said in the show was, yes, oh, this is the lightsaber from my master. And you kind of get the idea.
Yeah, it didn't make me lost. I just knew it was a character I didn't know.
You know.
Like they explained it enough. It wasn't like a hurt in the show. Just like, I thought maybe it was going to, you know, it was going to be Vader's or something, like evil Vader versus Anakin's.
Yeah.
You know, who knows? What about Baylan's skull?
Right? Yeah, so
it left off the one worst thing that could happen. Like, well, I hope it's just not a cliffhanger for his character. That would really be a shame. It's like I'm sure that won't happen.
Now it's the biggest cliffhanger of all. It's like, are they going to just abandon the story? Like, hey, well, you know what? Forget it. Or they're going to go. It's an interesting conversation that they brought up on Rebel Force Radio. So it's like, what's more? What came first, the character or the actor? So is the character that interesting because of the actor? Or point being is like recasting. Star Wars, for some reason, just stays away from recasting. But recasting does happen. Like Don Cheadle, War Machine. You know, it's jarring for like two or three movies, but eventually you're like, okay, I'm over Don Cheadle. And then when I watch Iron Man 1, I'm like, oh, I forgot. This other guy was War Machine. So you do make the transition. So I guess it depends how much of that story is locked and loaded and how much Dave wants to tell that story of whatever Baylan's doing there.
Something's got to come of it, because it's like if you think of just his roles. Now what I was thinking before you said the movies, my theory was since Ahsoka's Filoni's baby and all that, and they're ending on a cliffhanger. Maybe it's like sometimes movies where they made the next ones already. So maybe he already shot some stuff. Like we might just get lucky and there's stuff shot for his character. But if it's movies next before the next Ahsoka things, the next season of Ahsoka is not even on the roadmap yet, then I don't know that that's the case. But if you think of his scenes, it's every other episode is him staring off into the distance, saying, "I got a different plan. I got a different plan." We're all like, "Man, this guy's huge! I can't wait to see what his plan is."
And then he looks and he listens and he shrugs. Well, something about the statues he was on. It's something called the Mortis Ghost, which was another like thing Dave messed with the Clone Wars. Actually, that came from Lucas. It was like these big, powerful, like almost gods of the Force. And it was funny because on Rebel Force Radio, everybody's like, I bet they do the Mortis gods and I bet they do the Mortis guards. And everybody and the Rebel Force Radio guys were like, you're not going to do the Mortis gods. That's too deep cut. And Dave Filoni was like, you know what? Hold my beer. I'm doing the Mortis gods. But but it's something in that place. There's some importance of the Force there, where it comes into play. I don't know. James Mangold's supposed to do a movie about the origin of the Force. So I wonder, you know, that ties into that. Are they thinking that far ahead? I don't know. I don't know if everything's a contained thought or everything's like looking toward like world building. Like I know.
Yeah.
I definitely think Thrawn is going to be a big player in Mandalorian. even if it's not a direct confrontation, but the things Thrawn is doing is going to affect the things that are happening with the Mandalorian. It's going to affect the world, the climate of the galaxy.
Yeah,
you know, like Carson had that deal with Mando, like, hey, I'll do one mission at a time. Carson's that the guy from the Resistance, so he could be like, yo, Mando, help me with this, yeah, help me with that.
Oh, we still didn't see the one big guy where Zeb. We said it's like, oh, they're setting up Zeb, yeah, like, oh, they're putting him here, we're gonna see him soon.
Yeah, he's why couldn't he just something. Be standing there at the end, just like, you know, just yeah. stand. Hey, well, Ezra, what else was on?
Yeah, what is, well, the roadmap's made far out enough that he's got to be in something. They didn't just put him there for no reason, because they cast a voice actor for him, whoever the character, the real big guy. That
yeah, Zeb is in that galaxy. That's the problem. Zeb is there.
Yeah,
Zeb. Yeah. There was no reason Zeb couldn't be standing there with all the rebellion, the resistant guys.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Ezra, like, Zeb could have easily been there. You know, he just went, hey, yeah, buddy, gave him a hug, and that would have been awesome. That would have actually yeah. been standing there. I don't know why he couldn't. Like, they even. He even mentioned him when he was talking to Sabine. Sabine goes, oh, yeah, Zeb's training new recruits, huh? You know, like...
I didn't catch it.
Why would you bust him out for Mandalorian and not bust him out for the show? Yeah. I don't know. Unless Dave's like, I blew all my money on Anakin. I gotta wait for the movie or something.
Could the guys passing away have changed it? No, they said they already shot the whole season before the guy passed away.
Yeah, the show was done.
It was unaffected. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, speaking of, I thought when they zoomed out from Baylan, and yeah. he was on the statue of the guy, I thought it was going to be him like staring off like this, and then the statue was just going to be him staring off like that. Like, what's that? Of Baylan, yeah. Like, man, this guy just stares off. And
on a statue, like the never end. It's interesting to see where this stuff all plays out. Some stuff ended, like the Ahsoka Sabine story.
Yeah.
There was the ghost of Anakin at the end.
Yep.
First time I was like, I think you're pushing it. And the second time, like, you know what? No, yeah. it's cool because it's Ahsoka's thing with herself. And it's Ahsoka. It's yeah. the one person.
It was her arc. It was an arc for the season.
Yeah, and it's the one person Anakin failed that he never made peace with, kind of. You know what I mean? Like, he saved Luke. He's standing with the ghost of Yoda. And it's really the last of Anakin's unfinished business is Ahsoka, as far as the Jedi are concerned.
What about him and Leia? Was there ever, like, a goodbye? Was there ever anything between him and Leia?
No, there was some stuff in the books, I think. But
there's anything.
There's no ever direct, like... You know? There was never even like a thing where Leia's like, even when like.
What about when he appeared at the end at the party in the movies? Appeared with the others. So Luke was there and his sister's back there eating a sandwich, and he's gonna be like, "Hey, Dad's here."
I think at that frame of thought of time,
well, she didn't have the Force, so she wouldn't have been able to see him.
Well, she had it. She just wasn't as strong in it. She was able to sense Luke at some times and everything.
Oh yeah,
but
yeah.
I think that's right. But. I think Luke was more attached to and a bigger part of the redemption, where Leia was more like just finding out that it was, you know, that they were brother and sister. And, you know, she wasn't as vested in it. At the time. Yeah. She hadn't met him, and it was Luke that saved him. It was a very personal Luke and Vader thing. You know what I mean?
Right.
You also got to think that like Leia knew her, whoever she thought was her parents when she was growing up, you know, Bail Organa and the Queen and everything. So Leia had kind of like a family structure, you know what I mean? Whereas Luke was always curious about what happened to his father. Leia, I don't even think ever knew the name Anakin Skywalker, whereas Luke did at that time. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Leia's got her own, she's got a family.
Yeah.
It's just gotcha.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's just bio dad.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was because of Luke, Vader flipped. And it was actually because Vader mentioned Leia. He goes, perhaps your sister will, where Luke almost, you know, went dark out of anger and came back. But it was just like, you know, but yeah, Vader more acknowledged her than she acknowledged Vader.
Hu Yang was always fun.
Hu Yang was so good. I hope we see Hu. Yeah, you know, it's season two, and it's them on that world with that adventure. If they do the Mangold film, he's supposed to be 20,000 years old. So anything you do in the past, he could show up in.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So There's that. You know, we didn't get the Rebels reunion. Like you said, Zeb wasn't there. And now Ahsoka and Sabine are far away. So I don't know. You know, do they catch the next whale? How does that work? How that comes into that's kind of really up in the air, because they could just stay there forever or they could come back. But now I'm leaning towards they might come back, because, like, you had that chance of that Rebels reunion. You never did. So maybe.
Well, she's maybe supposed to be there. But she's supposed to be there. And what I thought was, because I'm thinking, like, well, what could possibly be there? And, you know, we only know I only know so much from this show. I don't know the other things, but she's got Baylan there. So, and she's got the girl. Who's the girl?
Shin. Shin Hati.
So they're all the maybe, and she started looking like she was flipping. Like when they tried to tell her, like, oh, we'll help you. After a fight, she ran off and she hesitated. You know, she thought about it for a second. And then Balin's there just staring off into the distance. So I took it as, all right, these four are going to team up and then they're going to hitch a ride, you know, because they're all there. You know, she's meant to be there. And then they show them also there.
Well, yeah. And if Balin's doing something where he's messing with the Force, that's something that would Ahsoka and Sabine would have to get involved in. You know what I mean? So it's something. Yes, that is a very contained story in that area. So yeah, it could make for a very interesting season two. Also, if the success of this season, they could just say, hey, just sign off on a season two and that's it. Dave's like, I already got the story lined up. And it could and if the story wasn't lined up,
you could recast Baylan. That's fine.
I think so.
You gotta do it. The guy passed away. What are you gonna do?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
If there's zombies coming back to life, you have him change his face and be like, yeah, you know, I died, so I took another.
Plus, his look is so distinctive, like a, you know, big guy with a beard. And you would definitely, you could just see him and be like, oh, that's the new Baylan. Like, you would know. Yeah. You know what I mean? His look is so distinctive, like that big shoulder pad he's got, the way his beard and haircut. Yeah. So, yeah, you know, it's, even like Mark Hamill said about Luke, he said, like, I always assumed that they would recast me eventually, you know, and then when they did the whole CG thing, and he's like, no, they did this, but he was like surprised. He's like, I think they would get a younger actor to play young me. So it is, you know.
Yeah, but look what happened when they did that with Anakin, or how they were on Hayden Christensen, how critics were on him. And that's a recasting, but not really, because it's not like Darth Vader, the actor, was in it much. You know what I mean?
No,
so I can see Star Wars' hesitation, like, because to mess that up. You know, like if they were to recast Wolverine, they're always talking about recasting him. There's so much pressure on it. God forbid.
Yeah, Wolverine's a big one.
Yeah. Yeah. So Luke, you know, Wolverine's up there. Luke is up there with him. You know, they're both up there in like top dog, millions of eyes on it. So there's so much pressure on recasting. It's like, let's just do some CGI. Let's just be safe.
That's funny you say that, because like Wolverine's the one that I think has been like, 20, I don't know how long, but like 2000, not granted he has been making movies for 23 years, but 2000 was the first X-Men. So he's the only guy that's played the same character for that long that I feel bad for the next Wolverine. Like Spider-Man, they pulled it off. Like, all right, we got used to new Spider-Man and stuff. And that guy's got big shoes to fill. But Anakin, I think the one thing this show did for Anakin was really make you be like, yeah, Anakin's awesome. You know what I mean? Because even I was watching, my son started watching Attack of the Clones. I got him finally to watch Star Wars.
Nice.
So I started him on Phantom Menace, which I don't know what the best way to do it was, but I just thought from me knowing his attention span.
Gotta get him on,
Phantom Menace is a kid's movie. It's got robots and Jar Jar. It's like a good one to start. Because even when you watch Attack of the Clones,
that would be a great one for him. That's his age.
Yeah.
And he's same age as Anakin.
Yeah, because Star Wars, the original, even though we high in such high regard, it's dated. It is. It's dated.
Yeah.
What I mean is the pacing for a 10-year-old. When he starts watching the other movies, and then he sees, oh, that's old Obi-Wan, and that's old, you know, Luke's adult now, and that's the stuff. Now he'll have a little more patience for it, because I think he's vested in those characters. So that's the thing. But he's right. The next one is 3, so that's the big one. But going back to it, it's like I'm watching Attack of the Clones, which is not Anakin at his best, or most likable. And then it's like I'm watching Ahsoka, and I'm like, man, I'm so glad this character and the actor and everything got redemption, because, you know, it's like, Anakin is very important to the whole thing. So if you just give us some like really good Anakin to forgive the bad Anakin, and by good, I mean good storyline and acting and quality stuff.
Yeah.
But he was the best in this show. There's his lightsaber fighting, his relationship with Ahsoka, and just like his presence. That was like the best Anakin. It was awesome. And it makes like when I watch Revenge of the Sith now, which is the next one, it's going to make that more tragic, that fall. That's the part that was the part that was missing, was the hero Anakin. So I think it did an awesome job.
You're really going to attach to him. Yeah. Instead of just watching him like, okay, here's how he turns. It wasn't like, oh God, he's turning. You know what I mean? It didn't really. Yeah. And what would be the best for me, but I don't see them doing it. But I never watched the Clone Wars. Be awesome if they just did a live action Clone Wars.
Yes, a lot of people were asking for that when they saw that Ahsoka stuff. They were like,
that was awesome. That whole episode was awesome. It was like, and it made me regret not seeing Clone Wars, but I tried to watch Clone Wars and I just, you know, I didn't really try very hard. But I tried and I was like, just Joe catch me up.
The first season's tough. You know, like the last season, like this awesome arc and stuff. It is hard because like everything else, you got to get through some slump episodes and get through the good episodes. And especially the quality
isn't what it is now. Yeah. So it's just like with the kid with the movies, it's hard to watch older technology CGI things. And, you know, it's hard to watch that when you're used to such higher quality of it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like if you watch Toy Story 1 compared to the new ones, you realize like, oh wow, it was a lot different. You know, it got a lot better after that.
Or even make a Clone Wars movie, just a one piece, which would probably be easier to do than a series. Like have one special adventure with that, because I think that actress that played young Ahsoka, I think she's really like 20 or something. What I'm saying is she looks like a kid, but she's not a kid. She's not going to grow out of that. I'm saying five years from now, you're not going to have a big drastic change in her. You know what I mean?
Problem.
Like picture, I don't know, the girl that dated Justin Bieber. You know what I mean? Just some people just have that young, youthful look to them. You know what I mean? So that would be, because she was great too.
Yeah, she was.
Fighting and her chemistry with Anakin was awesome. So that's something. Because they said, I'm pretty sure it's written in stone that the one Dave Filoni's doing is supposed to be a culmination, but I don't know that. Maybe I'm just thinking I heard that, and people were thinking that, but it could be the Clone Wars thing. Maybe they were saying, oh, this is awesome. And they were like, do a whole movie of this? I don't know, but that would be really cool. Like I said, really good show. A lot of fun watching, a lot of fun to see I don't know what the future is for Ahsoka, but I definitely like the future of Star Wars is looking bright. And, you know, Bob, thanks. It was a blast covering the season, and thanks for being here.
Yep.
And we'll see you guys. Hey guys, thanks for watching. If you like the show, make sure to subscribe. We're on YouTube as well as all your podcast players, and you can find all the links you need at bunzarelli.com. We'll see you next time.